This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Ready for an awesome episode? Well, so are we. But you know what? Before we get to it, I got to tell you that members of Navy Federal Credit Union could earn more and save more. Bam! Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as our friends at Navy Federal do. Start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit. For example, you could open an Easy Start certificate for just $50. And then how many certificates do this? You can then add money at any time and watch your savings grow. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's cousin, Diana, and today is National Fun at Work Day. You know what that means? Spending time with us, asking the question, what can eggs teach us about our credit and money? What? That's not your idea of fun? Just me? Well, I'll bet in the next hour we'll convert you, because here to help us improve our credit, we welcome a good egg from Crowns Financial, Brittany Green. And from LenPenzo.com, it's Humpty Dumpty. Nah, it's the man himself who we poached from his award-winning blog, Len Penzo. And finally, from this podcast, it's a guy who's not as cracked as you think he is. OG. Of course, that's not all. While we celebrate National Fun at Work Day every day here in the basement, it's also a real holiday today. I'll share some National Blueberry Pancake Day trivia midway through the show. And now, a guy who we know is celebrating Blueberry Pancake Day already, because those awful syrupy jokes spread all over everything, it's Joe Salcihi.
Oh, Diana, they're not syrupy. They're fantastic. Come on. I don't think there's syrupy, Joe. I don't think there's any such thing as a bad dad joke. There's only good dad jokes.
Touche.
Everybody, welcome to Friday. I am Joe Salcihi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. And that voice, of course, was Mom's cousin Diana. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fantastic. Every day's a good day here in the basement.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm so happy because this might be one of the weirdest segments that we've had, because we're going to compare eggs with getting your financial house in order. And to do that, Mr. OG is here sitting across the table from me. How are you, sir?
It's another beautiful day in paradise. Thank you. How are you today?
Certainly is.
Nobody ever asks you how you're doing.
You know, they don't. That's very nice. I am doing swell. Thank you. You know why?
You're doing so well. You're swell.
Absolutely. Making my own contractions now. But I'm doing fantastic, because we're joined again by the guy who early in the season is leading 2-0-0 in our year-long trivia challenge. What's up with this? Len Penzo is here.
You know what, Joe? That is exciting. I am just stoked to hear that.
It's excellent. I think it's excellent.
Oh, it's excellent. Okay. Hopefully we can speed this up today and maybe get this done in under an hour. I just, because I've got a Vatican task force coming over in about an hour and a half. I need them to attest to a miracle that's actually occurred in my bunker.
Oh. Yes.
It's true. You know, I've had a toothpaste tube that's been completely, you know, squozed down to nothing since Thanksgiving, and it's still pushing out toothpaste. And it's like the equivalent of the loaves and the fishes. I mean, toothpaste just keeps coming out, despite that tube being as flat as can be.
I think that's the miracle of living with somebody who doesn't like to spend money, Mr. Penzo. That's the golden miracle going on there.
Hey, you should try it. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, I just keep squeezing and more keeps coming out. We're like 70 days into the flatness. Amazing.
I think it'd be awesome if somehow the honeybee has taken like a little dropper and she's putting more in it so that she can watch her husband just be amazed.
We won't tell the Vatican task force if that's the case.
Absolutely not. You kidding me? And the woman who I'm sure is already wondering what the heck she's doing here. We met earlier this year in Austin. Brittany Green is here. Brittany, how are you?
I'm fantastic, especially laughing over here about that toothpaste joke.
No, you're excellent. You're excellent,
that's not a,
Brittany.
That's not a joke.
Oh, it's not a joke. Oh,
no, it's not, Brittany.
Oh, man.
Brittany, it's, oh, my. Brittany, it's a miracle, not a joke. You got to get it straight.
Okay, I'm laughing at the miracle because that is such a good one. How are you, Joe?
I'm fantastic. And the second person today to ask me how I'm doing, and that's why we like you so much. Brittany, I got to ask you. So you coach people to improve their credit, especially people just beginning. But you say in your bio that you destroyed your credit at first. Tell me a little bit of that story, because I think that's why we're kindred spirits. I did exactly the same thing.
Yeah. So it actually all goes back to college. When I was in college, they got me. My issue was I love to eat. So they said, hey, in exchange for signing up for this credit card, we'll give you a free pizza. So as a broke, hungry college student, that's exactly what I did. I signed up so I could get my free pizza. They held up their end of the bargain, and so did I. But I actually destroyed my credit because I didn't know how to use it. So I was using up the credit card, running it up, and then when I would get a refund from college, I would pay that credit card all the way down. Well, guess what happened when I graduated from college and the refund checks stopped coming? The card charged off. Yes. So that's how I plummeted my credit. And I didn't start working on it again until 2017 when I was up for a promotion. And I was actually denied for that promotion due to my credit.
Wow. So really?
Yes. Terrible. But also one of the best things that ever happened to me, because I found my love for finance. Right. So I got in, I started to get my own credit together, but as a psychology major, once I graduated, I began doing so much research. That was my love, research and research papers. Those are my things. 2018, guess what? I was fired from that same corporate position, and I was forced into doing business 100% full time, which was an amazing piece of the puzzle for me, but that made me work on my credit for a third time. So yes. I had to work on my credit three entire times, but each time I learned something different. And that last time I began to take my clients on my journey with me so that they knew that, hey, I'm a human being just like you are. We all have life that happens to us, but it's how we overcome that. So that's my story.
That is an awesome story. And by the way, with just a little financial knowledge, how much do you see the average person's credit score go up when you start working with them?
Oh, ooh, ooh. 100% isn't enough. And I'll say that because the ROI on just business transactions is that exceeds 100%. I see it go up significantly because when you know better, you do better. So it's definitely over 100% just because I know once they get the knowledge and they are able to do better, they do it.
Well, we're so excited you're here with us. We've got Brittany here. We've got OG here. We got Len here. Diana's here. Let's start talking eggs, credit, and your money. But first, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
And now we can get the party started. Today, it sounds like we're talking about eggs, but we're really not talking about eggs. We're going to talk about a life hacker piece that is all about egg marketing and some things that actually make sense, some terms that make sense, some terms that don't make sense, terms that sound good, but really, if you know what you're talking about, are kind of an eye roller. By the way, an eye roller for me has to do with this song that's playing behind me. This is the last time we'll be playing this song because I thought, Mr. OG, that when you and I purchased this song, purchased meant we had the rights to use it. And every stinking week on YouTube, somebody keeps claiming that we're using their music. And it...
We have the right to listen to it.
Well, apparently we paid good money for the right to listen to it. So
to listen.
This song's getting its last lap today. But this piece that gave me this idea came from Lifehacker because I feel like this is exactly about money, even though the piece talks about eggs. It's written by a woman named Claire Lauer and cage-free, she writes. Cage-free is basically meaningless and other lies your egg carton is telling you. She says eggs are both simple and complex. Well, so is money, right? They're one of the easiest foods you can learn to cook, but can be prepared in a seemingly endless amount of interesting and complex ways. You think about people can do money enough that we have a show three times a week about it. So very similar circumstances there for us. I'm going to go down just a little bit in the piece. She says, egg words that mean absolutely nothing. And I was surprised by some of these. And you know what, Len? I'm going to start with you because you're a guy that does grocery store comparisons. You've done it with ice cream. You've done it with all kinds of different brands. Does this surprise you that there's so many terms about eggs that are just completely irrelevant?
Actually, I'm going to sound ignorant. I thought these all meant something, I did. Because all of this stuff is, I've seen this on all the egg cartons, farm fresh or farm fresh, natural, hormone free.
It's funny. Let's actually stop on both those fresh or farm fresh. The writer here, Claire, actually says she's like, eggs are considered fresh. like, how are they not fresh? And then second, natural. No egg is a natural. She writes, that's the nature of eggs.
Yeah. And I feel kind of stupid about that one. I mean, come to think of it, you're right. Every natural. Egg is natural, right? I mean, wouldn't it be? I know, but you don't.
For you now. They're making meat, not meat. So pretty soon they're going to make eggs, not eggs.
Well, that's probably true.
Well, that might be meaningful in the future, but not today.
But not yet.
Yeah. Hormone-free. I didn't know that 60 years ago, the FDA banned the use of hormones in egg-producing chickens. I had no idea of any of that. So let's do this, guys. And now I'm going to go to our guest first. You're helping people, Brittany, with credit all the time. A term about credit that people think is meaningful, but that really is irrelevant. What's a term that makes you roll your eyes?
Trade lines. Without a question, trade lines. That's the one thing that makes me roll my eyes instantly.
I don't even know what trade lines means. What is trade lines?
So typically people will purchase trade lines, and that's someone who, say, for example, someone has a credit card and they have excellent utilization. They have a long-term usage of the card and it's like basically a flawless credit payment history, right? And they will sell their authorized user like chip or that area section of their credit, they'll sell that to companies for people to get on and use their good behaviors. However, last year, and I kind of saw it coming beforehand, and I tried to warn all my people before they did it, which is they'll pay thousands of dollars for those. But in a good number of cases, the credit bureaus like TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and lenders. So like, you know, when you go to buy a house, they give you a lender, right? A lot of those do not recognize those trade lines. They want to see that you're organically building your credit file with your own credit cards, not someone else's behaviors. So a lot of people will do that to get these immediate overnight jumps. And a lot of these lenders and the credit bureaus aren't honoring those. And some of them aren't even posting it to the credit file. So when people ask me, hey, do you do trade lines? I immediately roll my eyes and I'm like, oh, no. We don't do that over here. All organic building.
Like and pass. Yeah. Yes. Well, and it seems like, too, if you're going to use that approach, you're not learning the basic skills, Brittany, that you really need for better credit.
Exactly. Because everything is behavior based. Back in the day when credit first started, yes, trade lines and only the score mattered. Today, they have this concept called trended data. They want to see what you do with your own personal accounts on a month to month basis. So it's really all about your own personal behaviors. So if you have that foundation education for credit and how to use your credit cards, when to pay, how to pay, if you know those things, that's going to be the thing that sets you apart and they accept you more because they're able to see what you are doing organically.
Len, when it comes to not just credit, but anything financial, are there words that drive you crazy where you're like, that means absolutely nothing?
Yeah, this is kind of hard. There's a word like great price. I'll see the term like great price. It's like, well, that's in the eye of the beholder, great price, because what the real thing you've got to determine for yourself is what's the value, right? So just because somebody is saying this is a great price, you've got to do your own homework and determine if it's actually a great value. So I think the word price can be a little misleading.
Well, and I think to that extent, I think discounted, right? Because you'll see often that companies will have a discount, but they jacked up the price before the discount so that they could say they discounted it.
That is a really good one, because you know what? What's really funny is you'll see the flyers or circulars, or you'll see ads that say, hey, come, you know, usually for these contractors, like new fresh cabinets or something, and we'll give you 20% off on your estimate. So what you do is you hold back till they're done giving you the estimate at your kitchen table, and you go, oh, hey, by the way, and I've done this before, by the way, here's that 20% coupon. Oh, and then they'll say, oh, no, that was already in the mix. That's already in our estimate that we just gave you. So yes, you're absolutely right, Joe, that those tend to just lure you in.
OG, how about you? A term that makes you roll your eyes when you see it?
Since Len said two, I feel that is unfair because he stole mine, which I was going to say, like I was thinking about it in terms of like mattresses, you know, how and you go buy a mattress, they're always 90% off. They're always 90% off. Come get this mattress, it's 90% off. It's like, off of what? You get to determine that high number first. I was thinking about the credit scoring system and credit in general. And number one, if you eliminate a credit card, people are like, well, that'll screw up your accounts. Or if you had a bad one and you just go, well, I'm just going to close that one. It doesn't go away. You have to know that those things are going to stay with you for a while, regardless of whether or not it's open or closed. It's going to stay on your report for a while. And I think a lot of people just think that you can just, you know, I wasn't very good with that Visa card, so I'll just close it. It'll go away. Yeah, in like a 10 years or 7 years or whatever it is. So,
you know, there's a phrase in investing that I think that kind of drives me crazy. It's the stock market hates uncertainty. Like, I don't know. You hear this on CNBC, you hear it on Fox Business. And I always think, what does that actually mean? Uncertainty is not really the same thing as risk, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a word salad, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I feel like we just kind of throw it in there to make ourselves sound smart and that'll be mine. All right. So we work through a few that are phrases and words that mean absolutely nothing. Let's go into the next part of this piece. They talk about ag words that technically mean something, but that aren't that helpful. I thought these ones, back to you, Len, for a second. I thought these ones were funny. Brown. You know what brown eggs tells you?
Let me guess, that their color is a little darker than the white ones.
Right. That actually the eggshell is brown. Yes. That tells you absolutely nothing. Omega-3s, the chicken that laid the egg ate something that contained omega-3 fatty acid, but doesn't guarantee a significant amount of that. Cage-free, this is the one that kind of got me. They weren't kept in cages, but it doesn't mean that they ever went outside or that they weren't crammed into an overpopulated barn. I see cage-free all the time.
Yeah, I do too. Is that the one it's not in front of me. Is that the one that said they would count it cage-free if it could stick its head out of a little hole?
No, that one actually is pasture-raised. Yes, pasture-raised.
My sister-in-law's family has chickens, and they're in a cage, and they're probably every bit as probably 10 times fresher than the ones that are at the grocery store.
Yeah, and I like this last one here too. Fertile. These chickens, well, they use a different word, but these chickens did it.
Got it on.
There's no
wow, proven chicka wow wow is what it says.
No proven nutritional value that chickens. All right. Words that technically mean something but really aren't helpful. Back to you, Brittany. When it comes to your credit score, there are some words, I'm sure there's lots of words that are kind of like these word salads we were talking about earlier that mean something but really aren't going to help you make your credit better. What's one that you can think of?
I'll be honest. The biggest one for me is when I hear people say, oh, I guarantee you'll have this within this time frame. It's the guarantees. Like, you're not supposed to give someone guarantees, especially because, hey, there is work for them to do that's involved. So if they're not paying their bills on time, how could you guarantee them a certain score, right?
Oh, or if they don't, wait a minute.
They don't do anything.
You're talking about other people that say that they're going to help you improve your credit.
Yes.
And they guarantee your credit will go up by X percent or whatever it might be. Oh, man.
I see it because so many clients are coming to me and they'll ask me, they'll say, hey, what can you guarantee me in 90 days? Or what can you guarantee me within like 6 months? And I'm like, oh, wow. Well, that's a good question. And legally, there are answers that you're supposed to give to that. So I think that the biggest thing that I hear from that perspective is the guarantee spectrum.
It really is. Once again, if somebody's asking for a guarantee when they're trying to make their credit better, I'm sure the best thing they could be guaranteed would be that they're actually going to be a smarter consumer.
Yes, that's it right there.
It's crazy.
Who are these companies though? I've been seeing lately that says that you just call this number and your credit score will be boosted by up to, I don't know, 30 points or 40 points.
That's Experian Boost.
That's another one.
So is that legit? Boost. I guess it is.
That's another term that means absolutely nothing sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and the thing I do know that Experian does to do that is they will count you paying your bills, which aren't normally part of your credit score, I don't think, but they count bills that are normally not counted. And then for most people, because they pay their electric bill on time, let's say, or if they're renting, they might make their rent payment on time. That could actually help them get a better credit score. So
yes, that's true. To a certain extent, because it only goes for that Experian report. They don't report it to the other bureaus such as TransUnion and Equifax. And then sometimes lenders will disregard those extra boosts.
Right. Because they'll throw out like the highest one, right? They'll look at all three and throw out the highest one.
Yep, or they'll look at the middle one, whatever the middle score is, and then they have different scoring reports that they'll use. So they may use FICO 8, or if you're going for a home loan, they may look at your FICO 2, 4, and 5 reports versus 8, where like auto loans are looked at. So they have all these different variations that go into it.
But a credit aside here, Brittany, you know that people that are just starting out, like when my kids were just starting out, or heck, even when I was just starting out, it's so hard to build credit because nobody's going to trust you with any credit. And yet, like when I was renting, I made a rent payment every month. I had a utility bill that I paid every month, and I could show that I paid those bills, but those really didn't hit my credit score. What's the first thing somebody can do to try to make a credit score when they're first out of college?
Yeah. So, and this is something that I work with my college students. When I get a chance to go speak to them, I talk to them about, hey, first of all, let's understand where your score is, because in order to know what you need, because I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions of, you know, people in their credit scores, they look at it and they automatically think that it's bad. Right. And it's not necessarily that it's bad. It's just you're missing something. You're off balance somewhere. Right. So the key thing is to first understand where the imbalance is. Right. And then after that, so say, for example, for someone to answer the question who has absolutely nothing. Right. And I mean, absolutely nothing. I would get them started with an account like such as a builder account or guaranteed approval builder account, such as SelfLender. They were at FinCon as well. And love, 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 love them to death. They have a amazing platform for someone who is getting started with absolutely nothing. I mean, no negative items, no payment history, no utilization, no nothing. They will help you get started, and it's guaranteed approval, and it's very cost effective. You can get started for just as little as $25 a month to get active on their program, and they'll start reporting to your report, kind of filling in some of those gaps where you may be imbalanced.
We record these sessions live on Fireside. If you want to join us on the Fireside app, it's 5 p.m. Eastern. You do the math on where you are. But I noticed that the only reason I'm mentioning all that, Brittany, is that I just noticed Sherita Humphrey was here when we first started. I don't know if you saw. She was hanging out with us, and she does a lot of stuff with SelfLender.
Oh, yes. I remember her from the conference. When I seen her join, I said, oh, I know her. I know her. But I couldn't figure out where. From the conference. Makes sense now.
Yeah. And just another aside, we have no affiliation with Self, but we fully love them too. Fantastic company. OG, how about you? What is a term, a money term, that technically means something but isn't going to help you?
I'm going to go with no risk, because everything has some sort of risk attached to it. When we think about risk, we think about, generally, we mean variability or volatility, but risk really means chance of loss. And even if you said, well, there's no risk in putting my money in a CD, it's like, well, there's inflation risk. There's some risk associated with every financial decision you make. So just kind of pigeonholing things into, well, this is risky and this is no risk, doesn't really do you any favors. You have to figure out what those risks are and whether or not it's worth, continuing down the path, whatever it is that that you're trying to decide on.
That's a great one, because
I know.
Well, I feel like a lot of people fall into the annuity trap with that, right? This takes your money and it makes it no risk. But if it's long-term money, you and I know having this money locked up at a low rate of return for a lot of people is not a great idea.
That's the risk. The risk is your money doesn't grow as fast as it should.
Mr. Penzo, how about you? A term that sounds great, but doesn't mean much.
Oh, gosh. Well, I was kind of going to save this for part two, but I guess I can do this now since I'm drawing a blank on something so generic. APR versus APY.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of lenders, they love to advertise the APR versus the APY. And what's the difference? Well, the APR actually sounds lower. Sounds like you're getting a lower interest rate than you actually are. The difference is annual percentage rate, that's APR, versus annual percentage yield, which is APY. The difference being that the APY actually takes the compounding into effect. And the more that your loan is compounding, the greater the difference can be between your APR and your APY. So you got to be careful. If anybody's quoting you an APR for a loan, ask for the APY, because you'll know that there will be a noticeable difference usually.
And look at the difference between the two.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You know what's funny? Speaking of that, some people use these high-tech terms, and not even really high-tech. They just use these big words when smaller words would do. And I feel like it throws people off of their financial game or makes people afraid of things they shouldn't be afraid of. And I almost said one of those, Len. I almost said, look at the delta between the two of them. I remember the first time somebody said the word delta to me. I'm like, what, are we going down the Mississippi River?
Like, what's this point?
What are we? Basis point,
look,
right?
Look at the delta between your basis points.
Yes, drives me.
That's because you want to maximize your alpha.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. Or when we use the term large cap or mid cap, I remember, I'm like, what is mid? I don't know what mid cap is. And somebody goes, yeah, that's mid sized. I'm like, why don't you say mid sized?
Why don't you say medium companies?
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and back to APR versus APY, I feel like, Brittany, because so many people, when they first get in trouble, at least I did, get in trouble with credit card debt, like some of these terms like APR and APY, you really got to know the difference between terms like that.
You do. And that's actually my first time hearing more so about APY, like asking for what the difference is between APR and APY. So I jotted that down as a note. Got to make a funny TikTok about that because I think that's super important to know. Seriously.
You're welcome, Brittany. That is the one piece of financial knowledge I get from the show. That's it. We do.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
Brittany, I can see that really when there's these loan companies, they'll say, oh, you can get a 30-year loan for 2.5% APR. And then you sign, you're getting ready to sign the documents and it's 3.1% APY. And you're like, what's going on? Well, you know what they did? They threw in the points that you had to pay to get the lower rate and all that stuff. And before you know it, your real interest rate that you're paying is huge. So, yes.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Thank you. I needed that for sure.
There it is. Well, I think that's going to do it for the first part of our show. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk about terms you actually need to know. What are some credit terms, some investing terms, some financial terms you need to know? We're going to have that in a minute. This year, all year long, we're having a trivia contest between our three usual contributors, Mr. Lampenzo, OG, and Paula Pant from Afford Anything, and Brittany Green. Today, you are playing on behalf of Paula, and that means there is some good news and some bad news. Brittany, you want to hear the good news first or the bad news?
I need the bad news first.
The bad news is Paula, the last 2 years in a row, has finished dead last. Or maybe, Len, is it 3 years in a row Paula's finished dead last?
I think it's 3 years in a row.
I think it is 3 years.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah, so Brittany, the good news is that there's no pressure because of the fact that you expect her to win. The good news is the best news, though, is because of the fact that she has finished last. You are going to guess last. OG will guess in the middle, and Len is going to guess first on our trivia challenge. So those are the rules. And Diana, you ready to do this thing?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Let's see what we've got on today's holiday and maybe some trivia.
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's cousin, Diana, and today is the holiday we've all been waiting for, National Blueberry Pancake Day. Blueberries. Can you say yum? I'm wondering, what's your favorite way to celebrate? Mine is to get all hopped up on syrup and parade into an international house of pancakes at 6 a.m., because that's when the magic happens at IHOP. 6 a.m. is definitely better than 2 a.m., because at 2, you think you're hearing the international side of the International House of Pancakes with lots of different languages. But it turns out, everyone's speaking English, just pretty darn colorfully. I'm a little afraid of the IHOP menu, actually, because first, I'm not sure if I'll be able to translate the international menu. And second, I don't know if I'm worldly enough for the Have It All Breakfast. I mean, who doesn't want two eggs, toast, pancakes, two pieces of bacon, and a hash brown in a single sitting? I guess foreigners, but then again, I didn't realize foreigners love Tums so much. But really, let's ask ourselves, how international is the IHOP really? No, seriously, let's make it today's trivia question. Yeah, we all know that they generated $2.25 billion in revenue in 2020. A year when lots of people weren't dining out much. And we've also heard a million times that they had 1,772 restaurants in the U.S. as of 2020. But a company that calls itself the International House of Pancakes, there must be lots of them outside of those border walls, right? So here's today's question. How many IHOPs were outside of the U.S. in 2020? I'll be back with your answer after I spray down Joe's mom's griddle for our own feast here.
Blueberry pancake feast. What a way to start the weekend. So, Mr. Penzo, 1,772 IHOPs inside the U.S. How many outside the U.S.?
I think this is one of those trick questions again. I don't think there's hardly any International House of Pancakes.
Blasphemy, Mr. Penzo. Blasphemy.
So, but I've got, again, I've got to be tricky here because I know OG knows how to play this game, and Brittany can easily do the Chelsea Brennan.
I'm staring at the trophy right now, as a matter
yes,
of fact.
Yes, I know. I know. So I got to be a little strategic here. I'm going to say, there can't be many. There can't be. I'm going to say 39.
39 outside the U.S. Not very international with that guest. OG, how about you?
Oh, goodness. Okay. You said there's 1,772.
1,772, right, Diana?
That's in total? Or that's the
no, that's one? That's in the U.S.
Those are in the United States. And so how many are outside of the United States? Len's got 30-something. So 10%, so doubled it would be 1,700. 10% is 170. I'm going to say 100, and I'm just going to say 100. 100.
100. Well, Brittany, here's your job. Is it below 39, between 39 and 100? Or higher than 100 that are international. What do you think?
I learned from The Price is Right. Don't deviate too far. Let's say 101.
Oh, and there she goes.
101.
Here on the show, Brittany, we call that the Chelsea Brennan. I don't know if you know Chelsea from Smart Money Mamas, but she was the first person who did that. So you just Chelsea Brennan OG. So nice job.
Oh, yes.
Good work. Well, 39 for Len, 100 for OG, 101 for Brittany. Who's right? We don't play that way. We'll be right back. Stackers, controlling your money on a day-to-day basis comes down to two things. Number one, great communication, either with yourself or with a partner. And by great communication, what do I mean? I mean sitting down with your app of choice and putting together your strategy based on what you spent the week before. It's super easy, a 20-minute meeting a week. You look through your expenses, and then you plot out, what are you going to do next week? And you know what? That might seem little, but the big things stem from that. And if you have an app that keeps that in front of you, that helps make it even easier. And the app Cheryl and I use is Monarch Money. We've been using it now for about a year. As you may know, I've used lots of different solutions, and this is by far the one I've stuck with the longest. It helps Cheryl and I collaborate. We can talk about our financial goals. For us, it's travel. We're also adding to our house. We have a goal in a few years to really work on our lawn as well and just make it a pretty place to live. But the travel piece, as you know, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, that's a big one. And what's cool is I can put our financial independence goals and our journey up right next to our budget, because everything at Monarch is very intuitive. It is very customizable. So what the heck is Monarch? You're sitting there wondering to yourself, aren't you? Person I just made up. Yes. Let me tell you what it is. It's an all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you comprehensive view of all your accounts, your investments, your transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track your progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, Stackers, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. Got to have the /Benjamins to get the extended 30-day free trial so you can see that you'll like it as much as I do. How does it work? Well, it's very intuitive. It has a simple, intuitive design that makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can collaborate with your partner, family, or your financial advisor. What's cool is you can invite all these people to your account at no extra cost, so you can collaborate and everybody gets their own login info and everybody gets a joint view of your finances. And as I mentioned earlier, it's customizable, and best yet, it's ad-free privacy you can trust. No ads. You're not being marketed. When I had other apps that were free, I got marketed all the time. Well, not only do they not do that, they also don't sell your data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself and using it for about a year now, on a daily basis, I totally get why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. That's monarchmoney, monarchmoney.com/Benjamins for your extended 30-day free trial.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Mr. Penzo, you started off with 39. How you feeling now?
I'm feeling great because I actually think it's lower than 39.
You think it's like four, don't you?
I do. I think it's probably you could count them on two hands.
Oh, gee, 100. Even though Brittany kind of capped you up top, you still have what? Between, what about 60-something to 100?
I'm feeling pretty good. But the way this game works, I will likely get screwed somehow.
And Brittany, if it's over 101, you got it. Yeah, have you been to many IHOPs outside the United States?
Oh yeah, that's honestly their little celebration pancakes with the sprinkles on top, nice, and that's my thing.
But outside the U.S., Brittany, have you been to IHOPs outside the U.S.?
Well, I actually just started traveling outside of the U.S. last year, so I have not. But I will now, if there are some in some places, I will now look for them and go.
Don't forget to order the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. Isn't that the...
Noted.
Is that Denny's? I don't know if that's Denny's.
I thought that's what mom says when she passes gas. That's what I thought. I don't know. But, all right. Enough potty jokes. Diana, let's get this cleaned up. Who's right?
Hey there, stackers. I'm Joe's mom's blueberry poppin' and friend of Mrs. Butterworth's loving neighbor, Joe's mom's cousin, Diana. Today, we're all about pancakes. And now that I think of it, when aren't we all about pancakes? Ah, carbs and sugar. Joe's mom's favorite breakfast food combo, this side of gin and orange juice. But we have a quiz answer to get to. The International House of Pancakes is in our headlights today. Did you know that the same company who owns Applebee's also owns IHOP? Wow, who needs anything else? I know what you need, though. A trivia answer. The question was, how international is IHOP? With 1,772 locations outside the U.S. in 2020, how many are outside? Okay, so they're inside, outside. What are they here? In 2020, there were 102 IHOPs outside of the U.S.
Bam!
Oh, my God.
I'm bringing it home for my girl who's been losing the last 3 years.
While the chain expanded into some truly international locations like the Middle East and South Asia, the majority of the international locations are in Mexico. But more important, that means Brittany is our winner.
Hey-o!
And it also means OG did get screwed. You were right, OG.
Weird.
Right on cue.
Nice job. Congratulations, Brittany. Your first time here, and you take home the prize. Good work.
Yes, and I ended her Paula's bad streak of losing for years.
Well, she can't
do that. That's not okay.
That's right. Brittany's like, we got to turn that frown upside down. So let's get moving. Right. Absolutely. Welcome to the second half of our discussion, and today's second half is brought to you by Magnify Money. Brittany, you know what happens when you go to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money?
I do not, but I'm about to learn.
Oh, man, it's awesome. You go to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money, you find out those brick-and-mortar bank products, probably not as good as a bunch of the stuff that's online. Over 92% of the savings account, checking accounts, and other things like CDs, all rated against each other at Magnify Money. Go to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money to tell them that we sent you. And Okay, enough of the things that you don't need to know about eggs. For those of you somehow that got here halfway, if you're hanging out with us live, that might be you. We've talked about egg terminologies that either don't make sense or ones that sound good but really still don't mean much. And now we're going to talk about egg words, or in our case, financial words, that could actually tell you something about the egg and free range. Like, I didn't know, Brittany, that there was a difference between free range and cage free. Like, I thought those were the same thing.
You know, me too. I look for the best looking package of eggs and I walk out. Right. I go pay and I walk out. I have not paid attention to the terminology. So when I got the articles, I was like, what?
Are you saying we might be over evaluating the egg? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think I should be evaluating eggs more because I literally go in. I say, hey, is anyone broken? No one's broken. All right, let's get you to the cash register and let's get on out of here. That's what I do.
Pasture raised, pesticide free. Those are big. OG vegetarian, I know how much you like to make sure that the chickens that you're eating their eggs, that they were vegetarian chickens.
I do. I would like to know if they either that or if they were pescatarian. I would like to know.
yes. Yeah. OG, you too, right?
Is there a word for being chicken only? I don't think there is.
Only, I want because my chicken be to be very, chickenier.
That would be pretty weird.
Yeah, yeah. And
my chicken is a cannibal. No. She makes amazing eggs. She makes amazing eggs, I guess.
No, no antibiotics. I guess if you're, well, I don't know.
Never had COVID.
I'm sure your chicken being a vegetarian is important to a lot of people. But I never thought of that as a thing, but it's a thing for somebody. All right, let's talk about things that are things for a lot of us. What are some words that are red flags? Words that you really need to know, Brittany. When it comes to your credit, what is a word you really, really need to know? An important word.
As far as a red flag.
Either a red flag or one that, oh, this is a key to understanding your credit is understanding this concept or this word.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I have both. Can I do both? Let me quit.
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Red flag, again, guarantees. If someone says a guarantee, you run. You run so fast that you just, I don't know, you beat force. I don't know, but you got to run fast because guarantees are legally not okay. There's laws behind that. And anyone who gives those guarantees, they should know that. Number two, as far as on the other side of things that are very important that you should know, I think this one is going to be the most important and it's the least known is reporting dates. Those are so key, especially when it comes to your credit cards, because we hear about payment history and we hear about utilization, but most times when people come to me, they've never heard of reporting date. And that's the most important piece because you can do things on your credit card all month long, right? You can pay on the due date and then use it the next day. But here's the key to really capturing your credit report the way you want to, right? Find out when your credit card reports to the bureaus. It's typically 2 to 5 days after your due date. You want to make sure that you don't make a transaction until after it reports so that it can capture that you did pay that month and how much you did, keeping your utilization low. That's the key to taking your credit report or your credit score to the next level is that reporting date. And most people don't know that.
That's incredible. So, okay, back at you. That's one that I didn't know. That I had no idea that the credit reporting date was. That is,
this is what you learn on the podcast.
It's fantastic. and it's funny, we've been doing this podcast for a decade now, and I still, every show, learn something fantastic. OG, how about you, my friend?
I hate the duly registered thing, meaning you can be both a broker and a fiduciary at the same time.
You're talking about when people are choosing advisors now.
Yes. So it's kind of hard to disclose. It's not hard to disclose. It's hard to, kind of find in there. But if you can be a broker and also a fiduciary at the same time, it has an opportunity for conflict. It doesn't mean that people who are that are, right? There's lots of duly registered people who are on the up and up, but that also opens up the opportunity for chicanery, so to speak.
Well, duly registered, just to tell people what that actually means, that means in a single meeting, somebody can change roles. They can go from fiduciary to salesperson and back.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no magic, literally no magic hat that you have to put on. Go up to now I'm giving you advice that's conflict free. And now I'm giving you advice that gets me a big fat commission, right? Like there's no delineation. So that's probably the most detrimental, because there's plenty of great people out there who are paid on commissions and plenty of great people out there who are paid on fees. But when you mix them, it gets very difficult to tell the difference.
Yeah, if you're a client, you don't know which side. Confusing. Yeah, yep. Which side of the fence they're on. Diana, let's get you in here. I didn't get you in on the first part of this discussion, but here in the second part, something financially that, you know, that people really need to know.
I have so many. But the first one that comes to mind is when people say, I'm maxing out my 401k, right? Most people, when they say that, they mean they're contributing enough to get the match from their employer, and they call that maxing out. So I actually started saying I'm fully funding, because that's really what you're trying to get to, right? You're trying to put that, if you're single, that $19,500 into your 401k. So when I was doing that, I was telling people, I would really enunciate this, I'm fully funding. And it's important, because less than like 10% of people actually do it, even people that are really high income. So fully funding, not maxing.
That's interesting, because I don't know, and OG, let's get you involved in this, because I would have people say what Diana's talking about all the time. They'd say, I'm maxing it out. And I'd say, okay, well, maxing it out. So, wow, I'm not putting that much in.
Yeah, you do the math and you're like, I don't think that means what you
but
think.
But where did this even come from, this idea that maxing out equaled just getting the match?
Well, I mean, I don't know that it came from anywhere. And frankly, if you're contributing to the employer match, that's really good. So do that. If you're aspiring to something, aspire to match your employer match contributions, right? If they're going to give you money for you putting in 6%, you should do 6. And then beyond that, of course, the new limit's now 20,500, but the more the merrier with that. But I do hear kind of what Diana's saying somewhat frequently.
And Diana, back when you were working full time, well, now you work for fun, but when you were, because I feel like you're busier than ever, but when you were working full time, you were just shoveling money away.
Oh yeah. I was doing around $29,000 a year in just the tax advantage. So that was $19,500 in my 401k, $6,000 in my Roth IRA, and then what, $3,500 in my HSA. And then anything beyond that was going into an after-tax brokerage. So I was really saving over 60% of my income and investing it.
And there's people out there that don't know you and your story that are wondering why somebody would save that aggressively. What was the plan?
So I could peace out when I wanted to.
there it is. It's very simple.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I really look at it as I have front-loaded my retirement savings. So in the matter of 5 years, it really took me 5 years to get serious about it. So like in my 20s, I probably was only contributing to get the match, right? But then when I discovered the FIRE movement, I went, oh man, I want to save as much as possible during my peak earning years. And so that's when I would fully fund. I did that for about 5 years. And then I reached what's called Coast FI status. So that means I have enough in my retirement vehicles that it will grow to what I need for traditional retirement in 30 years. So I'm actually kind of done saving for retirement. I did it early in my career so I can kind of relax a little bit and hang out with you guys.
Speaking of terms, some of these FIRE terms I think people find confusing and difficult. They're like, I don't know the difference between one FIRE and another FIRE. But I'll say this, Diana, my roommate in college, I remember he was a couple years out of college, just my last 2 years of college. And he was aggressively saving. He had no idea what Coast FIRE was. He just said, I hate saving so much. I want to do as much as I can early so I can stop. He just wanted to stop saving. He didn't care about working a full life. He was very happy doing that. He just said, I just can't stand putting money away. I really like spending money. So
I think that's another one, right? All the different FIRE types, Coast and FAD, and I don't know any of the other ones, but there's a list.
Isn't that
kind of confusing to a lot of people?
I don't know that anyone even really agrees on what they mean.
Yeah. I
mean, you know, like traditional FIRE, I guess you can say,
which
most
makes it
people
more confusing,
are going for $1 million so they can get $40,000 a year. Fat FIRE is more multi-millions, right? So that you can live a luxurious lifestyle. Then there's Baristafire, where you basically get to coast-fi and then you get a job just for health insurance. I mean, there are a lot of ways that people, I mean, there's dumpster fire. There's Instagram fire.
Dumpster fire is my favorite.
Yes. But I think that the reason why there's all these different terms for fire is people are just trying to form an identity around it. They're trying to, you know, form an identity to say, here's what I'm doing. Is anybody else doing this? And that's the way people come together. But honestly, I don't think with even within the fire movement, the only thing that we all agree on is to live below your means. The way that you're doing that, how you're investing, how much you're investing, your timeline to FI, we don't agree on any of it because everyone has their own unique path.
Which makes it that much more exciting and textured.
Oh, yeah.
And proves that there's lots of different ways to get there. Mr. Penzo, bring this home for us, my friend. What is a term people really need to know when it comes to their money?
Yeah, before I give it to you, I'm just going to say I don't do fire, obviously. I just do fur. The early part for me is gone. That's that ship has sailed. So it's fur for me. Anyways, that's an aside. This is one that I think a lot of people make this mistake, and they say, I have an excellent, you know, you say, well, how's your personal finances? And they'll say, well, I have an excellent credit score, or I have a perfect credit score. Therefore, what they're trying to say is, well, therefore, my personal finances are fine. And that cannot be further from the truth for a lot of people, because the status of your personal finances, it doesn't all hinge on your credit score or your credit rating. There's other aspects to personal finance. How much are you spending? Are you spending less than you earn? How much are you saving? Are you doing, what is your planning? Have you doing any strategic planning? Has any of that been laid out? I mean, you can have a perfect credit score and be spending more than you earn, and you may have nothing saved, and you might not have any plans for out in the future. So I guess it would be that then. So some people who think just because they have an excellent credit score that they're perfectly fine personally.
Boy, that's a fantastic point, Brittany. Like, there's get your credit together and then use that to go forward to step two.
Oh, yes, for sure. And I definitely make sure that that's instilled in all of my clients or anyone that I can reach. It's, hey, you shouldn't get your credit together just to buy a car, or you shouldn't get your credit together just to buy a house. There's more that goes into it. And especially now, with how they look at your credit report and the things that you do, a lot of it is behavior based. So those behaviors have to carry out in other aspects of your life. So this should be like the foundation of you kind of taking care of any loose ends before you start to go on to other heights of investing. And not saying that you can't, right? Because I've seen people that do it. But my recommendation would be secure your foundation and then go to branch off to these other areas.
Yeah, I love that, because it's like setting up this solid foundation. Your credit's intact. You're not paying a lot of money to, quote, the man, right? You're somebody that is in charge, and now you can begin investing.
Yes, that's perfectly and well said.
Well, thank you. Not often I do that. All right, that's going to do it for today, everybody. Let's see what's going on where you live, and we'll have Brittany, our guest of honor, go last. So, OG, what do you got going on this weekend, my friend? Last weekend of January.
Absolutely nothing.
Just celebrating the end of January.
Which is nice. Just, you know, football, watching the playoffs. Yeah. We do a thing in the fall and wintertime at our house called Soup Sunday. So we don't have anything on the schedule yet for Sunday. But we've done such crowd favorites as, you know, chicken noodle and broccoli cheddar last weekend, which was
hey, glad I got invited over for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, there's not.
When's the wonton? When's the wonton soup coming?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We'll do. I haven't done split pea and ham yet, so that might be the one.
I love that. But are your kids afraid of stuff that's green?
See, the thing is that that's the only food there is that day. So this was our goal when we started this in the fall, was to make sure that they explored and opened up their palates. So, they like peas and they like ham.
My kids did not like,
I only imagine they would like them if they were smushed together. So yep.
My kids,
and you could drink it.
My kids did not like gross looking food, but split pea and ham, we got to them before that age. And so the one thing they've always liked is split pea and ham, because they had it from an early age. Good stuff.
Nothing like green colored soup.
Mr.
on a Sunday night.
Mr. Penzo, what's going on at LenPenzo.com?
Well, let's see. I've got the Vatican Task. Oh, I already talked about that. The Vatican Task Force will be here in a half hour. But before that, let's see. I've got 19 tips for saving a bundle of cash on your home appliances. There are actually tricks you can do when you go appliance shopping for your new kitchen appliances that can save you a bundle of money. But you got to know what to look for.
Oh.
So stop on by LenPenzo.com and its sister site, The Persistent Itch.
Have you heard Brian Regan talk about eggs before and about refrigerator salespeople?
No, you know what? I've seen him in concert like four times. I love that guy. But no, I have not heard that one.
I've never seen him talk about those. Those are awesome times. Brittany Green, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yes, of course. Thank you guys for having me.
And so tell everybody where they can find you. I know that you're helping people all the time. If they want help with their credit, where did they go? What did they do?
Yes. So the best place to find me, if not Instagram, Instagram is going to be I am Brittany. So B-R-I-T-T-A-N-Y Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. That's it. But don't forget the E. So you can find me on Instagram. And then that'll probably be the best place, or Brittany Green on LinkedIn or Facebook as well. I'll be there. I'm the girl with the big fro.
in the elevator in Austin, when you and I met, it was you, me and your hair. And that was about all that would fit.
And I think actually then I have my locks, because I sometimes wear a wig, and I'll wear, you know, the big fro wig, or sometimes I'll just wear my natural dreadlocks in my hair.
No, I actually think you had the big hair that day. Because I remember that. And I also remembered having hair envy, wishing I could just grow hair. Like if I could grow not even that hair, but if I could just grow hair, that'd be awesome. Well, and you know what? For people that are either walking the dog or you're on your commute, if you have a commute, or not by your computer, we got you covered. Just head to stackybenjamins.com and head to our show notes page. And we've got all the links to find Brittany and Len and OG. And also, Diana, what are you doing before we kick off into what we should have learned today?
What am I doing? I am going on vacation starting this Thursday at cabin in Wisconsin. It's going to be very cold, but this is a family vacation that we do every year, and it's like the best weekend of the year.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Well, have fun doing that. For now, though, so we can get you there, let's talk about this. Diana, what should we have learned today?
First, take some advice from our panel. Focus on the stats that truly make a difference. In every money conversation, there's a signal and a noise. You may need to dig a little deeper for the real signal, but that's the fun of digging into finance, isn't it? Second, if you think you're going to shortcut credit building with trade lines, Brittany wants you to know to think again, because that's not going to work, sweetheart. But the big lesson, before heading out to IHOP, make sure you know the language. Adjectives like sprinkles and whipped cream, when combined with nouns like pancakes and crepes, are what this place is all about. Let's have a festive blueberry pancake holiday, shall we?
I'm with you.
We can find this holiday to one day.
Let's go.
This should be a whole weekend. Let's go, party people. Thanks to Brittany Green for coming on the show today. You can find her at crownfinancialsllc.com. Thanks to Len Penzo for joining us today. You'll find Len's offbeat writing for responsible people at LenPenzo.com. Thanks also to OG for joining us today. Looking for good financial planning help? Head to StackingBenjamins.com/OG for his calendar. Our show is written in part by Paulette Perhatch, who helps writers power their words, their work, and their earning potential with her Powerhouse Writers Coaching Program. Find more at powerhousewriters.com. Thanks also to our team who made today possible. Karen Repine, our producer, Tina Eckenberg, and Gertrude Smith, our social media mavens, and then Brooke Miller handles the show notes and our amazing newsletter, The 201. I'm Joe's mom's cousin, Diana, and you can listen to me every single day of the year as the host of the Optimal Finance Daily podcast. You can also check out the party about money that I created called the Economy Conference at economyconference.com.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show that doesn't exist. What happens in the after show stays in the after show if you're new here. So let's dive in. You know what, Len? Initially, I was going to play a different comedian talking about the IHOP because I really want to hear people's stories of maybe some not great times at the, or maybe some fantastic times. Like what is your, or back in the day, because I haven't done this in a long time, what was your version of fourth meal? So, but first, I promised a little Brian Regan, and this is Brian Regan talking about refrigerator sales people.
Needed a refrigerator for our new place, and I've never bought a refrigerator in my whole life. I went into the appliance store. There's like 900 of them lined up. There's a salesman there. What's this guy supposed to say about refrigerators? Well, you have this refrigerator right here. This keeps all your food cold for 600. You've got this refrigerator. This keeps all your food cold for 800. Check this out. 1400 keeps all your food cold. So this guy's working me on this one. I've never seen a guy work so hard. This one is a very nice refrigerator. It has a meats drawer. And what you do with that, you would put meats, whatever varieties that you would choose, these would be your meats. So there's no requirement on the types of meats. You could pick bacon, marbled meats.
Can't think of any meats. And you got to wait. Speaking of eggs, later on, he goes on about how this one has a specific place for your eggs. And that's why it's worth 1400 versus 600. You've never heard that one.
No.
So great. Like, how painful is it selling refrigerators? I mean, not selling refrigerators themselves, but trying to upsell somebody on a fridge. Let's talk about this idea of fourth meal. So Diana hinted at the fact that, you know, that these restaurants, IHOPs, not exquisite cuisine. I enjoy going to the IHOP. I dig it. But IHOP wasn't my place of choice, like late at night. Brittany, late at night, where were you found? You said you like food, right? So late night,
yes.
Late night, where are you doing fourth meal?
I'll be honest, it's kind of hard to find me at one specific place, but I love my Waffle House. I love my IHOP. I love my Denny's. I go to each one for different reasons. Like, for example, I go to Denny's for their pancake puppies, but I go to...
The pancake puppy? I don't even know what the pancake... What the hell's the pancake puppy?
It's like, you know, like the little hush puppies, but it's a pancake puppy.
Oh.
And they have like strawberry and blueberry and chocolate flavor. They have all type of flavors that they do seasonally. And I'll go to there just for that.
Now, wait a minute. When I go to Denny's before you get to Waffle House, I always had to get the Moons Over Miami, right?
Just oh, yeah. No, that's great, too.
Yes.
You get that. You get the pancake puppies as your dessert from the Moons Over Miami. Yeah.
You got some strategery going on when it comes to your late night dining. Yes. All right, then the Waffle House.
Yes. So I go to Waffle House because they give you a lot of food, right? So sometimes I go there for like the bad service because I know the worse the service is, the better the food's going to be. So you can get a lot for cheap, you know, your all-star combo. So I go there for that. And like I said, if the chef's back there smoking a Newport, I know that food's going to be amazing.
If the chef is smoking, that's actually another comedian's bit. He's like, if the chef is smoking, it just reminds me of my dad at home, you know, smoking and cooking.
That's it.
Are there degrees of like inebriated for each of these? Like if you're a little inebriated, you'll go to Denny's, but if you're just hammered, it's time for full on Waffle House. Is there a hierarchy?
Yes. The drunker you are, you go to Waffle House.
Yeah.
The drunker you are. Yeah.
Well, so where's IHOP on that scenario?
IHOP's first. It's IHOP, then yes. Denny's, then Waffle House on the creation list.
So you're kind of
love Waffle House.
Yeah, you're kind of sober. You're kind of sober then if you're going to IHOP. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Very sober. So you're in there with the grandmas and the grandpas and the uncles and aunts. So you want to be on your best behavior. Yes. Yes.
Oh, gee, how about you? Late night feast back in the day?
Well, considering my nights usually end at about 9:45, actually most restaurants are still open at that time.
Even back, I said back in the day, were you like a 10:15 guy then?
I would stay up till like at least 10:30.
At least 10:30. Yeah. Right after Matlock ended or Murder, She Wrote.
I'm not going to be able to participate in this in anywhere. And then high quality that Brittany brought on the after show, I can't compete with. So
can't.
After she smoked me in the trivia, she smoked me in the after show also. So haven't been to Denny's in 25 years. So
Mr. Penzo, moving on.
Oh my God, I love Denny's.
I didn't like it. I just said I haven't been there. Oh, there's not one goodness. Near me.
That place, I love it, man. Any place with pictures on them, and I'm serious, any place with pictures on the menu, it's good food usually. I like that kind of stuff. But you know, when I was younger, Southern California, we had a restaurant, we had a fast food restaurant called Noggles. And if anybody in the LA area may remember them, they were bought by Del Taco. And so they went away, but they used to have late at night the best egg burritos in the world. And there was nothing better after a long evening of fun and debauchery to stop at your Noggles and get yourself a nice egg burrito.
There was a pizza when I was in East Lansing in college called Dino's that I remember just absolutely loving, at 2 a.m. Thought it was just the best pizza ever. I remember one time my parents came to visit and I'm like, oh, there's this fantastic pizza called Dino's. And I ordered it and this thing had an inch of grease like on the top. It was so nasty. I could not eat it sober. It was so absolutely bad. I was horrified. I'm like, I can't believe this pizza that I thought is so great after hours. It's just
my hometown. We had this is back in the day. I'm so old. The town I grew up in had lots of Italian bakeries and restaurant bakeries. And one of them was called Mazzulli's in Fontana. They used to have a double decker pizza. I mean, the thing was huge. It was probably like, I don't know, 2 feet by 2 feet.
Double decker.
It was square. But the thing was so huge in the middle, the same thing, the grease would just pool in the center. But it was so good. So good.
Oh, Diana, bring it home. You back in the day partied a little bit, I know.
Absolutely. But I mean, I don't remember what I was eating blackout drunk at 2 a.m. But I will tell you that, you know, I moved to Cincinnati in 2017. And when I moved here, everyone said Skyline Chili, right? But I was warned, don't try Skyline until after a night of drinking. And I just would never remember this, right? So it was over a year of me being here before I actually tried Skyline. And the night I tried it was, it was the night of my first date with my Midwestern gentleman who I'm still with 3.5 years later, which after I tell you the story, you're going to question why.
We're going to question his judgment.
Yeah. Well, so we go on this date, we have a nice time. He actually took an Uber there. I drove, but I was driving him home and we pass a billboard for Skyline Chili. And I just happened to mention that I had never tried it. And he goes, well, we're going to try it right now. And I was like, okay. So we are actually passing a Skyline. So we pull over, we get out, we go into the Skyline, and I watched this man house a five-way, which is basically this like pasta with chili on it with like onions and beans, and two cheese conies, which is just like a hot dog with chili on it and cheese. And this heaven.
This is not going to end well for you though.
Well, and you know, I tried it, but I thought it was gross. First of all, they don't salt the water for the pasta and they overcook the pasta. And as an Italian, that really offends me. And it just wasn't good. Like, I wasn't into it at all. I have never eaten Skyline again. I tried it one time and I told him I would allow it once a year on our anniversary, but we still haven't gone back for more. So, I mean, he does all the time when I am not there, but yeah, that's the late night food around here. People getting into that Skyline chili.
All right. Hands on Skyline chili. Brittany, you like Skyline chili? Have you had it? Cincinnati chili?
Never had Skyline chili. And once she said they don't salt the noodles, yeah, I was checked out. I have
save
to have
yourself.
It. Like, have to yourself. Have it good.
I'm done. OG, how about you? Skyline?
Do not like it. Nope.
Len, I'm sure you've had it.
No, I haven't. And now that Diana mentioned that they overcooked the pasta, I'm the same way. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy.
Paula Pant.
It's all dente or bust.
They probably break it in half too before they put it in the water.
Oh, yes, yeah. You know probably they're doing that.
Mm-hmm. I hear all the Italians just giving them the finger right now. Well, I hope you got a lot out of today's episode. But one thing that we talked about a little bit today, but we talk about a lot, is you got to have good partners on your team, Stackers. And you know what? Navy Federal Credit Union could be that partner, because becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. And aren't those two of the big tenets, right? Have a debt strategy, earn more, save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you could start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. I think that's the coolest certificate. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt. Well, as you're putting your plan together, you want to also have a debt strategy, right? And you could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing cost, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Don't get in over your head with debt. Make sure you have a great strategy, and then take out debt as you need it. And Navy Federal's options certainly give you the flexibility to help you make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, equal housing lender, membership required, terms and conditions apply, loan subject to approval.